Today, Australia's trees could be a major part of the solution to halting the climate crisis. So why are we knocking them down at astronomical rates? I'm Laura Murphy-Oates. This is The Full Story. Right now, Australia is facing an escalating environmental disaster. The destruction of trees and plants on farms, known as land clearing, has exploded in recent years, with forest loss in eastern Australia ranked amongst the worst in the world, alongside places like the Amazon, the Congo, and Borneo. But past attempts to crack down on land clearing have been divisive, with tensions in rural communities rising over decades. In 2014, they finally boiled over.
Glenn Turner was a compliance officer with the New South Wales Department of Environment. He was heading out to Cropper Creek, which is a town about 50 kilometres outside Moree, very small little place. And he was going out there because he was investigating illegal land clearing.
Ann Davies is an investigative reporter for The Guardian.
Now, Ian Turnbull and his family had been farmers around the Moree district for some generations. And he was in his late 70s. There was a bit of history between Turner and Turnbull. Glenn had already investigated some other clearing that the Turnbulls had been doing. Turner was there with a colleague. He drove along a very lonely country road just to see what was happening. And as they drove past, they saw smoke rising from burning trees on Turnbull's property. They pulled over on the side of the road, got out and started photographing what they could see on the Turnbull's land from the public road. Ian Turnbull became aware they were there. He jumped in his car. He had a rifle in the car. He stopped down the road and got the rifle out and loaded it. And then he drove further up the road and confronted them in Talga Lane, which is a very lonely part of the world, just surrounded by properties. He says, "You're trying to ruin me." And he shoots Glenn Turner in the neck. Meanwhile, his colleague is saying, "Please, Ian, don't do this. We can get him help." There are more shots fired. He shoots Glenn in the chest, and then Turner gets up and tries to make a run for it, and he's shot again and killed. Turnbull turns on his heel and gets back in his car and says, I'll be at home when the police arrive." During all these confrontations, they've managed to let off the EPIRB, which is an emergency beacon. So eventually help arrives, but can you imagine how terrifying it must have been for both of them to be out on this lonely country road with an angry 79-year-old.
An elderly farmer who allegedly shot an environmental officer execution style has pleaded not guilty in a PAC Supreme Court.
Ian Turnbull murdered Glenn Turner when an ongoing dispute over land culminated in a bloody ambush on a property in the state's north.
The Crown told the jury Turnbull was motivated by personal hatred when he shot Glenn Turner, knocking him to the ground.
Okay, let's step back for a second. You mentioned that Turnbull had been in trouble with these officers before for illegal land clearing. What is that? What does that actually involve?
Well, land clearing can be lots of things, but the most extreme version is when farmers go and get two bulldozers, they put a chain between the bulldozers and they just drag it through the vegetation and it takes everything out. There's also other types of land clearing like thinning, which involves selectively removing trees and shrubs and regrowth. The reason why we have rules around land clearing is because obviously we want to preserve the most valuable pieces of vegetation. They're really important because they provide habitat for endangered species And, of course, trees around waterways are really important because they help keep the rivers healthy and clean. At the time of the Turnbull incident, the law required, in most cases, that you had to seek permission before you cleared land.
And Turnbull had cleared his land without permission, without getting the proper permissions in the past.
A few years before the murder, Turnbull had illegally cleared a lot of native vegetation. He cleared 3,000 trees and been fined $140,000. Glenn Turner had been involved in that prosecution, and so when he turned up looking at more land clearing, Ian Turnbull was extremely annoyed.
And what happened to Turnbull in the end?
Following the verdict of the jury on the 27th of May 2016, you were convicted by the court of the offence of murder in Glendon Turner.
So Turnbull was eventually convicted and went to jail.
I impose an aggregate sentence of imprisonment for 35 years. The offender may be removed.
And then died in jail sometime after that.
Okay, so this case sounds pretty extraordinary, you know, a farmer killing a government official. How do people react to this murder?
Well, there are two reactions. One is that people are really horrified that someone would be shot dead doing their job. But in and around Moree, including from some of the local National Party figures, people like Barnaby Joyce, who was then the Agriculture Minister, said,
"There's no reason anybody should be murdered. That's a bloody disgrace."
"Oh, it's terrible, but..."
"There's got to be a clear understanding of the anger that sits behind this, these vegetation laws."
"The department have pushed these people to the edge because they're just trying to make a living on the land."
"Look at it. Trees everywhere. And they're saying the idea that you would make me a criminal because I knock over that. Like, that's not a free society."
Those sort of comments really brought land clearing into the spotlight. It really focused people's attention on what was going on out in western New South Wales in particular. After that, there was pressure from farmers to change the laws. They said that they were unfair and caused too much stress for farmers. So there was a new set of laws brought in 2017, which shifted the balance in favour of farmers and made it easier for them to do routine clearing.
So after this murder, the laws actually shifted in favour of the farmers to make it easier to do land clearing.
Yes, that's right.
Why do some farmers want to clear their land? What's in it for them?
Well, the farmers would say, "We just want to manage our land in the way we want to manage it." But the reality is that if you clear land, you change its value. It's a bit like a rezoning in the city where you're allowed to go from two stories to six stories. The effect of clearing land is that it becomes far more valuable. It goes from like 400 to 800 a hectare for grazing land to $3,000 to $4,000 a hectare once it's cleared and can be used for cropping. One of the Turnbull farms went from $3 million to $5
million. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, knocking down trees dramatically enhances the value of the land and it also increases its productivity.
You've been investigating this. What have you learned about the scale of land clearing that's happening?
In New South Wales, since 2013, we've seen a really big jump in land clearing from 9,000 hectares a year around 2013, and it's now up to 27,000 hectares a year for the year 2017-18.
So that's a big jump from 8,000, 9,000 a year a couple of years ago to 27,000 a year around now.
Yeah. And I feel like there's this sort of arms race going on as people are trying to clear their land as fast as they can to uplift the value before someone says, "No, enough, you can't clear anymore." And we're fully expecting to see it pretty much double when the next lot of statistics come out. And we know that because we're getting some data from the local land services, which administers the new laws. And it showed that 368,000 hectares has been applied for or notified to be cleared in New South Wales. And that's a huge area. It's about 1.5 times the size of the ACT. And some of it is thinning. Quite a large portion of it is thinning. But nonetheless, we are losing forests under these new land clearing laws.
And where is the bulk of this land clearing happening?
Well, it's mainly in the northwest of New South Wales, around the area where the Turnbulls had their farms.
Ian Turnbull's farm?
Yes.
Next, Anne heads to the heart of Australia's land clearing crisis.
Driving into Moree, you drive past all these areas that are just absolutely flat, bare dirt, bare blacky-grey dirt. We're standing in a landscape where if they were raising sheep or cattle, they've just got rid of them. And if it's been ploughed for wheat, there's just nothing there. Most of them haven't even planted out this far. And I'm talking as far as the eye can see, these huge fields where they've been unable to plant anything.
Why haven't they been able to plant anything? Why is it so bare?
Well, this is what's called dryland farming. So they don't use irrigation. They rely on rain to grow crops, things like wheat and soybeans. But there hasn't been any rain, not really since 2012. There was a little bit in 2016.
Mm.
So they've been in drought for a number of years.
So basically, all this land has been cleared, but it can only really make money if it rains, and they're just waiting.
Yeah.
When you were talking to the farmers around Moree, what were they saying to you about all this?
Well, it's actually pretty hard to get people to talk about it.
What would people say to you?
They go, oh, we're not talking to you because you're from The Guardian, or we don't think the print media gives us a good run. And some of them are facing prosecution under the old laws, so they're super sensitive about it. However, they have spoken out on commercial radio in Sydney.
Hi, my husband and I have worked extraordinarily hard over the last 12 years to build a life on the farm. We've really struggled really, really difficultly to find out that the possibility that we will lose everything if we are prosecuted, and to which we will be found guilty.
Why did you guys clear the land?
Because it was unproductive. You couldn't graze cattle upon it, so if you can't graze it, you can't pay for it.
How big's the fine that you guys are facing?
The possibility of $500,000.
Unbelievable. I mean, come on.
They've absolutely roped in Ben Fordham from 2GB, who's an afternoon talkback host here. He has been running a almost daily campaign where he's airing the views of the farmers, and I haven't heard him interview an environmentalist yet.
You've got 260 farmers in the northwest of New South Wales under prosecution. I would think that there's something wrong with the law. We own the land. We paid for the land. You know, as the population grows, we need to feed Australia and we need to water Australia.
So it sounds like they're saying that they're struggling, farmers going through this. Is this always the case?
Well, some of them are struggling farmers. A lot of them are families who've been on the land for a long time, and by normal standards, they'd be regarded as wealthy. But during the drought, they do it really tough as well. And then, of course, there's some big agribusiness out in the region as well.
What do you mean by agribusiness?
Well, there's cotton farmers, there's big wheat crops, and increasingly we're seeing major investment in these properties.
So pretty wealthy organisations in some cases.
Yes.
What about the people who are against land clearing? What did they have to say?
There's definitely a view among the environmentally minded people that to speak out is to risk being ostracised in the community.
Wow.
Environmentally minded farmers who do raise the alarm about land clearing on next door properties are often really fearful in doing so because they fear reprisals. You know, we heard stories of people's letterboxes being taken out from their properties, which might seem like nothing, but when you've sort of 50 kilometres out of town and your letterbox disappears, it's sort of a big deal. I mean, they remember what happened to Glen Turner, so they feel quite nervous about going to the authorities.
So out of the people that you did manage to talk to about this pretty divisive issue, what did they say? What did you find out?
So people who live in the region, like Clem Dodd, who's an Indigenous person from Walgett, he says that he's seeing climate change in his lifetime.
Mm. It's changing, yeah. Everything's getting dry, it's all dying, all the trees, you can see.
And they talk about the impact that trees have on the local climate.
Well, when you drive out in the paddock, you see all the leaves are turning brown.
The trees attract the rain clouds.
You knock all the trees out, you get no moisture in the ground. And you get no moisture in the ground, you get no clouds.
They say that losing the trees means that you will get a hotter, drier summer.
You get no rain. Only what you get here is dust.
So scientists say that trees, because they have much deeper root systems than, say, wheat, are able to suck moisture out of the ground and then it evaporates into the air. And then as the air passes over the trees, it causes rain to fall in those areas.
So they're actually essential for making rainfall.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. So with less and less trees in the northwest there, what kind of future are people there facing? What could it be like in 5, 10, 15 years?
Well, if climate change unfolds as it appears to be at the moment, it looks like they're going to have many more hotter, drier days. The CSIRO's done work on this and says they're expecting up to a third of days to be over 40 degrees and that there will be much longer dry spells. The question is, can you grow crops long-term out here? Will it be, is this just a short-term strategy or will it be just too difficult to farm in the future?
And I want to zoom out for a minute. What is the big picture here? What do we need to know when it comes to the impact of land clearing?
Okay, so people may not realise it, but Eastern Australia has become a deforestation hotspot. We're actually the only developed country on a list of 11 global deforestation hotspots that has been drawn up by the World Wildlife Fund.
So there's a list of 11 countries and we're the only developed country on that for deforestation.
That's right. So people looked at what was happening in Brazil, all those fires, and they look at land clearing in the Amazon and go, that's just terrible. But in Australia, we've cleared significant parts of Queensland in recent years. And now we have an outbreak of clearing in New South Wales. The Wilderness Society estimates that in 2017, an MCG-sized area of forest was cleared every 2 minutes in Australia. I mean,
every 2 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, this is not just a tree here or a tree here. We're talking about significant loss of vegetation.
And why does that matter, though? What does that actually lead to, losing this amount of vegetation and trees around Australia?
Well, Australia has become an extinction hotspot. We've got the highest level of mammal extinctions in the world. But I think the most scary thing is that land clearing is reducing our ability to tackle climate change.
Mm-hmm. How big an impact does land clearing have on the climate crisis?
The amount of land clearing that's happening in Australia is estimated to cause emissions of 46 million tonnes of carbon dioxide a year. That is the equivalent of 3 large coal-fired power stations. So we're talking about, you know, every time someone knocks down trees, they're adding to the problem by releasing that carbon by burning the trees that they've cleared.
So there's a lot of talk about, you know, fossil fuels in the industry. Are we not focusing on land clearing enough and its contribution to the climate crisis right now?
Well, land clearing is really, it's a significant contributor to emissions. And conversely, keeping forests is a really important part of storing carbon. They're able to suck carbon dioxide out of the air. And the other thing is that we have included reforestation as one of the strategies for reducing our carbon emissions. So we've actually spent a lot of money on it. You know, we've had programs like the 20 Million Trees program, which, as its name suggests, involves planting 20 million trees at a cost of about $60 to $70 million. That could be wiped out with 6 months of land clearing.
So we've actually told the world that we're going to meet our climate targets because we're going to plant a bunch of trees. But it's possible that we're clearing the trees faster than we're planting them.
Mm. So when Australia ratified the Kyoto Protocol in 2007, we committed to reducing our emissions, but we also sought some special rules because we'd made big advances in reducing land clearing, and that was seen as a way of contributing to reducing greenhouse gases. But what is clear now is that the rate of land clearing is possibly happening faster than we're planting trees.
So basically land clearing is a big contributor to the climate crisis, and the crisis is leading to drought. So are some of these farmers, by clearing their land, really shooting themselves in the foot in the long term?
You would have to ask what the future holds. They might have good crops for 9-10 years, and then they'll find that the land becomes degraded, that it's too dry, and if the climate does change in northwest New South Wales and southwest Queensland.
Quite rapidly,
then it could be impossible to farm the way they want to farm there in the future. If we take firm decisions, we can preserve what's left. Now, the difficulty for Australia is, as an agricultural country, you know, we've got these grand targets to increase agricultural production, but we have to realise that it comes at a cost. At the moment, I'd say that neither the federal or state governments are really committed to this, and so we need them to all realise that this is potentially a win-win for everybody.
You can read more of our land clearing investigation by Anne Davies on theguardian.com, and you can subscribe to the show on whatever app you get your podcasts on. Just search for Full Story. We will be releasing episodes 3 times a week starting from October 21st, and I can't wait to show you what we have been making. This episode was produced by Ellen Leibeater and Joe Koning, executive produced by Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. Special thanks to Anne Davies for her time and Adam Morton for contributing to the research. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on Monday.